an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello, welcome back to NITV Radio. Today we are celebrating Indigenous Literacy Day. And my next guest is a bit of a legend, actually. I'm really excited to have her on. Now, I'll read out her bio just so you all know how talented she is. Melissa Lukashenko is a multi-award-winning Koori writer. Her 2013 novel, Mullumbimby, was awarded the Deloitte Queensland Literacy Award for Fiction. She won the Victorian Premier's Prize for Indigenous Writing and was longlisted for both the Stella and Miles Franklin's Awards, as well as the Dublin Impact Literacy Award in 2015. Melissa was awarded the 2016 Cowell Fellowship to work on her latest book, Too Much Lip, which we're going to have a bit of a yarn about today. And also, Melissa is a Walkley Award-winning author for her non-fiction, as well as the founding member, and this is something I didn't know, of the Prisoners Human Rights Group Sisters Inside, a very worthy and needed organisation. Now, she writes passionately about ordinary people and the extraordinary lives they lead, and that sounds like us mob. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Jingiwala, Danny.
How are ya?
Yeah, not too bad, brother. How are you?
I'm going good, thanks. I'm going good. I'm pretty excited to talk to you on Indigenous literacy today.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of your work. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. I always ask, who's your mob and where you're from?
Yeah, Bundjalung, but growing up in Brisbane mostly. I did spend a decade down on Bundjalung country just after 2000, but most of the time been in southeast Queensland, and that's where I was born and where my family's been for a couple of generations now. So, yeah, member of the Brisbane Murray community, although I call myself Koori.
The Gooris, the mighty Gooris,
yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about your writing. Like, how did you get into writing? Like, we don't have, you know, we do have, you know, some well-known Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander authors in the country, but I guess, you know, it must be challenging to write a huge novel like you do. Can you tell us how you got into writing and the passion and your love for it?
Yeah, well, I was one of those kids that always had my nose in a book, and I think my mum grew up very, very poor in the Gympie area, like a lot of mob do. And she never had, you know, her family never had money for food or clothes, hardly, let alone books. And she really felt the lack of that. So when we were young, mum always used to take us off to the public library at Mount Gravatt at least once and sometimes twice a week. And me and my youngest brother would, we'd just dive into the stacks and we'd eat up the books. And from that kind of natural love of reading and words and, I was supposed to be doing a PhD in my early 20s at Griffith Uni, but I couldn't say what I wanted to say in that format. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about Murray lives and what mainstream didn't know about us and, you know, had no clue about, and I couldn't fit it into a PhD. I didn't know how to do it at that time. Plus, my mental health wasn't all that crash hot.
Yep.
And so I wrote my first novel and, yeah, it all went from there, really.
So you think, like, with the university, academia, it was a bit hard to tell our stories, but as you found in a novelist and writing your own book, you can put in what you want to put in, the freedom to write, yeah?
Yeah, that was true for me at the time. I think, you know, I wouldn't speak for anyone else. I think there's a place for academic work, and I think our mob are doing good work, you know, in the unis and in the schools, but there's also the world view that is really hard to capture outside of, like, fiction and film and TV, maybe, mm-hmm. and music. You know, I know Uncle Kev Carmody, who's one of the real legends.
Yeah.
He was doing his study at Uni of Queensland back in the 80s, I think, and he had been taken away as a young bloke, and his literacy wasn't crash hot, but his lecturers at the time allowed him to do some of his work in the form of song. You know, which is really pretty innovative for those times, and it's like we've got to find the right genre for our stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes it won't fit, yeah.
Now, it's a really interesting point, though. Funny enough, I just played from Little Things, Big Things Grow before you jumped on, because it's such a song that just epitomises what he's storytelling through music. So I just think it's a perfect fit for Indigenous Literacy Day when we're telling our stories in English, you know, and talking about our lives. But one of the things I want to ask you about is how important is it for us to own our own narrative and tell our own stories? Because it hasn't always been like that.
Oh, so important, so important. And I think it's also important to remember it's only been the last couple of hundred years where that's been taken away. And for, you know, 60, 80, 100,000 years before that, we were the storytellers always of our stories, and we held the knowledge. You know, we were the ones that decided, you know, we imagined ourselves. There was no outside interference for the vast bulk of our history on this place. So it, to try and put it in context and not let that 200 years get us down or deflect us too much from owning our own stories. And like last weekend, I think it was the National Black Writers Conference for NORN in Canberra, and I gave a talk, and I was talking about what Sister Alexis Wright often talks about, which is the sovereignty of our own minds, you know, and the importance of recognising what stories we are believing about ourselves and what we choose to allow into our consciousness.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting space that I know. Screen Australia celebrated its 25th anniversary of the Indigenous Unit last week, and I was speaking to lots of writers, directors, and they're talking about how important it is to own our narrative and tell our own stories our way.
Tell them our way, and also constantly be questioning who we really are, because it's very easy to get caught up in other people's ideas of who we are if we're not careful, I think, and that's something I'm always trying to combat in my work. One of the things that I keep saying to people is, in my work, I want blackfellas to have four things. I want us to have beauty, I want us to have humour, I want us to have power, and I want us to have land. And if in my work, if blackfellas have got those four things or are working towards those things, then I think I'm kind of doing my bit to recast the way we think about ourselves. And like In Too Much Lip, that's a book about grassroots people who are doing it hard and coming out of a family with a lot of violence. It's a semi-autobiographical story, not autobiographical, but some of it is directly from my own family.
Yeah, right.
And like it's a really gritty story. It's funny, though. I knew it had to be funny to talk about the hard stuff that I talk about in that book. But even though it's grassroots and there's a lot of violence in the book and it's a tough, funny book, I still wanted my characters to be working towards having all those four things: beauty, humour, power and land. Because, you know, that's the good life, I think, when we can say we've got all those four things. And I suppose love would be the fifth thing, that we are loving each other as black people.
Yeah, I love that, because that sort of sums up who we are, those four or five things, you know. So that sort of resonates with me. But let's talk about Too Much Lip. How hard is it to write stories that involve your family? Is there extra pressures? Because you know, the mob will come at you if you're writing stuff about them, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right. I don't ever take a person and just stick them in my books. That'd be wrong artistically, and it would be really wrong ethically, I think. But having said that, there's a lot of my older brothers in this book, and one of my brothers in particular. I sent the manuscript off to him, and I was waiting to hear what he said, and he said he liked it, and that was a big relief to me. But you know, he would have been justified if he'd had the shits, I think, you know, because I don't gloss over the hard stuff in Too Much Lit. I interviewed Alice Walker, who wrote The Colour Purple, in Western Sydney in 2015, and as prep for that interview, I went back and I read a lot of her books, and I read her first novel, which is called The Third Life of Grange Copeland, and it's about the intergenerational story of a family, a sharecropping family in the American South. So they're like one step removed from slavery, but hardly removed at all. And in that book, Alice Walker talks about how the violence and the racism just flows down the generations like a stream, you know, and everyone gets wet.
Yeah.
She doesn't put it in that way. That's my wording of it. And I thought, well, it's the job of the artist to look around them and see what's going on. And with the work I do with Sisters Inside, and also in my own extended family, you know, I look around and I do see lots of stuff that needs to change. And I thought, well, you know, put your big girl's pants on and write about this stuff. And so I did. So the short answer is it's not easy. But the long answer is, it took me 2 years. And every day of those 2 years, I questioned myself whether this was the right book for these times. But I'm glad I wrote it now that it's done.
Yeah, it must be a very challenging thing to write a book. You know, I'm a bit literacy challenged. I didn't really learn to read and write properly till I was 17. But so to write a novel of, you know, a few hundred pages must be an epic journey to go on.
Yeah, it's not a small thing, but, you know, neither's winning a marathon, neither's being in a grand final winning footy team. They're all...
Yeah, true. Very true.
You know, it's all different kinds of marathons in their way, and it's horses for courses, though.
No, well, thanks very much for jumping on and joining us today. I know there's a lot of young people out there that's going to be inspired by this, and hopefully we see an army of young black authors in this country telling our own stories and our own narratives. And it's because of the people like yourself and the Anita Heises and other authors out there that are paving the way for us. So we thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Danny. And, yeah, you young mob, all you got to do to start writing a story is grab a pen and paper. And 5 minutes. Don't make it any bigger than it has to be.
There you go. Some great advice there. Now, you can find Too Much Lip at all good bookstores, I assume?
Yeah, and it should be in the library systems pretty soon if it isn't already.
Yeah, cool. So jump on that, you mob. Her new book, Melissa Lukashenko, Too Much Lip. And if you want to read another great book, read Mullumbimby as well. Thanks for your time today, Melissa.
Totally. Thanks, Danny.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.